Item number 10, underground storage tank program and MTBE cases. Mr. Briggs.
As opposed to the closure cases for the last two items, these are status reports of ongoing cases. Certainly not all the cases, but what we have done periodically is provided updates for you on some of the higher profile cases. In this case, we have four high profile MTBE cleanup cases, and we've also provided a list of sites with MTBE and groundwater to give you kind of an overall perspective region-wide about the number of sites. So the first one is the Chevron service station in Cambria, and that has that case has been going since 93, but is making good progress. The second one is the any questions about that case before I move on? John Maharis is working on that case. Oh, there's John back there. Hi, John. The second case that we have provided a summary for you is overseen by John Goney and over here on my right, and that's the California Water Service Supply Wells in Salinas. And that's been a kind of a perplexing case with in terms of trying to find a source. Mm-hmm. So we provided an update. And by the way, just to remind you, especially since we have Mr. O'Malley, our new board member, what we do with these, since we periodically provide these updates, is provide the new information in italics. For you, it's all new information. But in the future, you can zero in on the italics information to see what's new. The third case is the Camp Evers, I guess it's pronounced, combined site up in Scotts Valley, Mount Hermon Road and Scotts Valley Drive. And this is another case that's been around for a long time. Let's see, it refers to the mid-90s here. A very complicated site. Dr. Wei Liu of our staff is overseeing that site. Any questions on that one? Next one is a quick stop market. Tom Sales of our staff is overseeing that one. That's in Soquel. And MTBE case. And like I said, we've provided a region-wide MTBE list for you to see all the sites that are pending. And I want to say thanks to all the staff who are working not only on these sites but all the underground tank sites. It's a program that where we really have to do a lot of prioritizing because of the number of sites that we have. But we're trying to be more and more strategic about how we're doing that and actually coordinating with the state board on their reviews. Chris Sedera of our staff is our supervisor for that unit. And we've been coordinating more recently with the state board on cases that they've reviewed for closure, and that's working out pretty well.
And Mr. Briggs, I take it that we're not adding sites to this list, that the population of MTBE sites was fixed some time ago?
And we're still picking up new sites. They're declining, I guess, in terms of the rate of new sites. Isn't that fair to say, Chris? But we're still picking up new sites just based on discovering contamination, even though MTBE is not in use anymore. Mm. Is that a fair assessment of the case, of the situation?
Yeah, Chris Adair, Water Board staff. I think we've picked up two or three cases this fiscal year. We've closed maybe 22. Mm. And of those three cases, I think, well, there's in the new formulation, there's no MTBE. So when they pick up a case, typically it's from an older site that's been where a tank's been removed and the old formulation was in there. It's still an issue.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. I was just looking through the list, and thank you for the summary table. It helps to get kind of grasp district-wide what's going on. The site assessment phase of work, can you give us just a, can you characterize that? Is that a multiple-year effort, or how long does site assessment generally take?
Well, once the site's discovered, the responsible party needs to typically hire a consultant, get in, drill some wells, try to characterize the extent of the plume. It could be relatively quick. It could take several years mm-hmm. until we move into remediation.
Mm-hmm. And so you're, in your experience, how, in this group that we're looking at, is that has that been pretty much a couple-year process, or is that in
It can be a many-year process.
Yeah, some of them MTBE, fall to that end, I'm sure.
MTBE is hydrophilic, and so it gets in the water, and if the water's moving quickly, the MTBE is moving quickly, and the plume can spread right. really quickly. Right. And so just characterizing the edge of the plume sometimes is very difficult.
Okay, so once a site goes into remediation, does that signal that the plume has been characterized and a plan for mitigation or cleanup has been pretty much...
Remediation can start actually before the plume's been fully characterized, but typically, yes. The plume's been characterized, the remedial technique has been picked and hopefully implemented. We're having some problems with the cleanup fund in Sacramento right now, and so the remediation, I put a status report in your packet last time. About the problems that the fund is having with cash flow. And
so what does that effect have on remediation? Does
it's slowing things down considerably.
Okay.
Because to well it's not just with remediation, it's slowing down the whole process mm-hmm. because the RP, the responsible party, has to come up with the money to drill a well, put in a remedial system mm-hmm. and it has been the case where that money has been reimbursed. And so in some cases, the responsible parties might have $50,000 or $60,000 out on the table. Mm-hmm. And until they get at least partial reimbursement from that, it's very difficult for them to go forward.
And then, do we have a time frame attached to any of this? Is there a maximum time that they in which they have to complete site the site evaluation?
No, although there is a movement afoot to limit the time that people are allowed to be in the fund. And we talked about this at the program roundtable on Wednesday about possibly limiting just access to the fund for 6 to 7 years or 10 years or something like that so that we don't run into the problem where a consultant might actually be using that as just a, you know, a small business tool.
I guess my other concern would be that the, as you noted, the physical nature of each site, the individual characteristics, and how rapidly that MTB might be moving through its, as it is associated with the water and hydrology that it's connected to. The longer that process takes, the bigger the problem gets. So I guess my interest in a time frame would be to see some kind of a boundary put on the site evaluation process so that we can define and understand the characteristics of that plume as quickly as possible.
Certainly the process sometimes moves quite slow.
Yeah. Well, that would be my comment. I if we're looking at this in terms of how effective we've been with this effort, that the site evaluation process should have some timelines attached to it, time schedule order or something along those lines, so that we do get into that evaluation phase as quickly as possible.
I'm sorry, Dr. Hunter, I misunderstood that. The site evaluation phase and the site assessment phase, that's to me, it's the same thing. You're talking about getting into the remediation as quickly as possible.
Getting to remediation as quickly as possible,
okay,
thank
yeah.
you. Did we issue time schedule orders?
Well, we issue enforcement orders, but typically not if we have a cooperative, responsible party, since things are moving along satisfactorily. And actually, I was interrupted a little bit, so I didn't hear all of your answer, Chris, in terms of what we do require as far as timelines. But we do issue enforcement orders where it's needed.
If it's necessary.
To keep things moving along. It's just that if we had a blanket policy of issuing a cleanup and abatement order for every site, which I don't know if any of the regions are doing that. I know some think that would be a good idea, but it would be a drain on our oversight resources. So we try to do that strategically based on where it's really needed. So as long as they're moving along okay, we typically won't issue a time schedule order.
With the fund in place, the responsible parties are typically very cooperative. Now that we've got this problem with the fund and there's a pending resolution with the state board that will change things again, and I'll have a report for you on that at the next meeting, it may become necessary for us to write more enforcement orders.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm glad to hear you say that, because I think as things change, we need to see how that pattern goes.
My thesis has always been that the responsible party is responsible for what they've done, and ultimately, fund or no fund,
right?
It comes down to who's responsible.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Good. Thanks,
Mr. Shellcross. Did you have a question?
This is on the high priority listings. And this isn't just Santa Barbara. It looks like it's throughout. Most of the sampling dates are, back in 2008, and these are all, and I'm talking about the ones that have quarterly monitoring schedules.
Right.
Some of them are like, the last one we have is for July of 2008.
Well, some of them are on, I took the data off of GeoTracker, and I tried to capture the six-month period between July 1st and December 31st. If I would have gone from the two quarters from October to the end of March, I wouldn't have got as complete a data set. And so the data are there for, and I could easily make it all the data from last October, and it would give you a picture of things that are, have been more recently sampled. Some of those sites are on semi-annual monitoring.
The ones I'm looking at are the ones that indicate quarterly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so
it seems, how long is it between when the sampling date and when it gets on this?
The RP, well, the RP is supposed to, the responsible party is supposed to sample during the quarter and then have their data on GeoTracker by the 20th of the month following the quarter. So if it was the second quarter, say, of 2008, the data would be due by July the 20th and so on through the year.
Okay, well, here's an example. Maybe you can explain to me. On the first page under Monterey, a little more than halfway down, Shell Oil in Salinas, 7/10 is the sampling date, and they're on a quarterly schedule. Now, how do we get all the way to May of 2009 and not have any more recent information?
There are, I can't say for sure, but there are probably, I would suspect that those data are in GeoTracker now, but they weren't when I put that report together.
When you put it together on April 7th?
Right. And they should have been. And if you like, I'll follow up on that.
Well, it just seems to me like these reports used to be more up to date. This just—it's hard to tell. It's hard for me to tell from this if all these people are just slacking off, or is the data there, or that makes this report sort of useless for me to look at.
Okay.
Unless you want to go through and explain where all this stuff is. I don't know. I think that would be a big waste of time. But I just didn't know if it was maybe some sort, if we're having problems getting the data into this list or...
There shouldn't be a problem getting data into the list because I'm taking it directly off of GeoTracker. And
has that always been the way it's been done?
No. have just changed to that format.
Oh, well, maybe, what did you used to do before?
Well, when the report was generated, it was an older Access database that was generating the report, and it would come up with some holes in it, and so staff would actually call the RPs and find out what their most recent data are. Mm-hmm. This has been a much more efficient process, but I can see that I should, maybe I'll produce the report the day before the board meeting and have it as a supplemental or something like that.
Well, that might be more helpful. But if it's going to be this kind of reporting, then it's sort of a, I would question the use of that system. And, it, you know, I'll just leave it at that. Just something for you to think about.
I definitely will think about it, and I'll try to make it a more useful report.
Well, it sounds like one of the actions would be to check the report, and so you gave the example of that Shell site where we should have had July, September?
We should have had an October date in there.
October, by October 20th, right? So then we need to check and see if it's actually missing or there's a problem with uploading it.
And that was just one example of many.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should flag those and check up on them.
I'll follow up.
Okay, any other board comments or questions on this agenda item? Okay, thank you very much, Chris. Okay.